Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, April 21st, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well as we gear up for a big day. The Yankees begin a 9-game road trip, 3 against Boston, 3 against the Astros, and it'll conclude with 3 against the Texas Rangers. But of course, today, we got to preview the big story, which of course is Yankees versus Red Sox in Fenway Park. The first time in a few years where we've had an April series against them. The last time we faced them in Fenway in April was actually 2018, which you'll remember that series was when Tyler Austin and Joe Kelly were, trading some blows. And then most recently, the last time we faced them in April was 2022, in general, was at home in the home opener or opening day in 2022, the Josh Donaldson walk-off. So it's been a minute since we faced Boston in April. We should face them in April every single year. In the last couple of years, it's been until like June that we face the Red Sox, and it's pretty irritating. I'm not sure why the schedule makers ever come up with that idea, but this year they got it right. Yankees and Red Sox early. Here we are, April 21st to April 23rd. Here's your series preview. We'll touch more on this in just a moment, but just to give you the time slots and all that, they're all night games tonight, 6:45 Eastern, Wednesday, 6:45 Eastern, and Thursday series finale at 6:10 Eastern. That'll be Cam Schlittler on the bump in Game 3. Tonight will be Luis Gil versus the lefty Connor Early. Game 2, really good pitching matchup. Battle of lefties, two of the best southpaws in the game, Max Fried versus Ranger Suarez. And then, yeah, Thursday will be Cam Schlittler versus Brian Bale. We're going to preview everything, starting with Luis Gil tonight in just a moment. But a quick little standings check. And, of course, the Yankees were off yesterday. Well, in the meantime, though, the Rays lost. So they fall to 12-10. The Orioles won. The Red Sox and Blue Jays won. So your current standings are Yankees lead the AL East at 13-9. Rays trail by a game. Orioles trail by 2.5 games. Boston and Toronto trail by 4 games. Very early, of course. And, you know, all of these games are important. They all count just as much as the ones at the end of the year, as we always say. And a series like this against Boston is, for obvious reasons, very important. But also, from their perspective, God forbid they were to get hot, catch fire at the right time, a series where they beat the Yankees could definitely turn their season around, so we don't want that to happen. But let's get into the nitty-gritty of it all. Drop a like on the stream if you have not already. A quick programming note. We will be live, of course, for every single game on the main channel for the watch parties. We'll be live all 3 against Boston. We'll be live Friday against Houston. Reminder, I unfortunately have a wedding to go to this weekend, which was very poorly planned, the scheduling of it, to do it during Yankees Astros, but I am obliged to go. I do look forward to going. I'm grateful to be invited, but don't get married during baseball season. I sure as hell never will. I will be getting married in November or December, years from now. Anyways, so that's the programming note. I'm not going to be live this weekend, but in the meantime, we are here right now for Morning Yanks. We'll be live for every game in Boston, live on Friday for Houston, and then it's a weekend of love. Awesome. What is this, a Hallmark movie? No, it's not. Anyways, let's get into it and discuss. So Yankees road trip begins at Fenway. We've kind of already discussed that, so we're essentially going to jump right into topic 2 here to get into the specifics of things, and that is Luis Gil, who will be taking the ball in Game 1. Again, tonight, 6:45, first pitch. By the way, the middle game's on Prime. Otherwise, we're on Yes tonight. Tomorrow, Wednesday, is Prime. Thursday is back on Yes. But anyways, Game 1, Luis Gil versus Connor Early. Now, is it Connor Early or like Connelly Early? Anyways, we'll just call him Early. He's a left-hander. Real quick on him, we faced him in the wildcard series last year, and he looked pretty decent. This kid's got really good stuff. One of the most hyped lefty pitching prospects coming up when he did. And that was just last year, so he's still very much on the come up in his career. He's pretty damn good. Don't know too much other about him than what we saw, but the stuff is good. We did decent against him last year in the wild card series. But let's talk Luis Gil, because this, as I have titled, more so with a question mark, but I don't think it really is a question. This is an important start for Luis Gil. Now, we know Carlos Rodon and Gerrit Cole are on their way back. Both are, well, Cole has began his rehab assignment. Rodon will probably be beginning his this week, but Rodon will be back sooner, and the timeline for him is probably around first week in May, give or take. And with that in mind, we know how well Ryan Weathers has been pitching. We know how well Will Warren has been pitching. Well, come the return of Carlos Rodon, that would then have the Yankees, if everybody's healthy, 6 healthy starters. Now, who comes out of the rotation come Rodon's return? Well, as of right now, it would be Luis Gil. Now, I will say, I thought he looked decent against the Angels, which made the result all the more frustrating because he gave up way too many homers for it to be an effective outing. As ridiculous as this sounds, but not that ridiculous because I'm acknowledging it wasn't a good outing because of this, but homers aside, I thought Luis Gil actually looked pretty damn good, which again is why the final line was so frustrating, because outside the home run to Frazier and outside the home run to Ohapi and then the two-run homer to Trout, I thought Gil looked pretty damn good in his second start of the season, especially compared to the way he looked in his season debut in Tampa. Well, we'll see what we get tonight, and it definitely could have an impact short-term on what the plan is for Gil, whether he stays in the rotation or not. Obviously, you know, part of the consideration would be, does his stuff translate as well to the bullpen as a guy like Will Warren does or Ryan Weathers? That remains to be seen, but this is an important start for Gil. First things first, we're playing Boston. We want to win. And by the way, Luis Gil, we'll probably touch on this more in just a moment. He does have, he's performed very well against Boston in his career. In five career starts versus Boston, he has a 0.99 ERA. We'll see if that continues into tonight. But this goes back to even last year, he threw one of his better outings of 2025 was six no-hit innings in Fenway Park. It was right around August of last year. And I'm going to pull up this video since we're on the topic. We'll just get into it. So we mentioned the 0.99 career ERA against Boston in five career starts. I'm watching old highlights from 2024 Luis Gil, and it is pretty insane to watch this back. Those that are watching along live or on the video, of course, we're on podcast too, but just take a look at the difference in the fastball. This is from 2024, and it really brought me back watching this, because I'm like, damn, Gil was a different pitcher his rookie year in 2024. I mean, the fastball, we'll still see him get it up there. Like, the velo is down, but only by like a mile or two, but it's more so about the spin rate, the life on the fastball. This is look at that pitch. That's 97. That's 97. We'll see Gil throw 97 tonight. Well, let's just go off his first two starts. We see him throw 97. We see him technically throw hard. It's not what we're watching right here in this video. I mean, it was a totally different pitcher. I mean, his body language was different back then. Confidence is a thing, no doubt about it, and he was at this point balling out. This start that you're watching right here, and for those on audio, it's a 2024 June start against Fenway. He came to this game 8-1 with an ERA just barely over 2. So the hot start was already underway for him this year, in this outing in 2024, but the body language totally different, the fastball totally different. I mean, he was electric in his rookie season. We'll see what happens tonight. Obviously, you know, the fastball he's had some issues with. And a lot of things with Gil, when you watch him pitch, it's like, it almost comes off like he's tipping his pitches. Like he slows things down where he used to be much more, I mean, yes, wild back then, but not even, because he's still very wild, if not more wild with his command. But it was a lot looser, and he let the ball whip, whereas now he seems to be a lot more hesitant throwing. Anyways, the reason I bring this up is it almost seems like he tips his pitches when he's throwing his changeup. Like the delivery, when you're watching as a viewer, it's pretty obvious, it seems to us. I don't know if this is the way it is when you're in the box, so maybe it doesn't play a role. I don't know, but like from watching on TV, like you kind of know when he's going to throw his changeup. Like the pace of the arm changes, like the torque on the arm changes. You don't know what you're going to get with Luis Gil. Now, again, I think he looked decent against against LA last time out. But in the end, he gave up 4 earned runs, and it hasn't been an ideal start for him to begin this year. Bottom line is, this is an important start for Gil. Doesn't mean he won't make his next start if he doesn't perform well. But once Rodon comes back, we know there'll be a conversation of who comes out, a very important conversation. And right now, Luis Gil is a leading candidate to lead the rotation. Now, I also don't stress too much over this stuff. I mean, this all applies if everybody's healthy, which as of right now they are, and come Rodon's return they might still be. That's fine, knock on wood. I more so talk about always the postseason rotation. The postseason rotation, you have a 4-man staff, and in the case of that, it's going to be in some order of Fried, Cole, Rodon, Cam. Warren and Weathers are going to the bullpen really no matter what come October. So I always think big picture postseason rotation. In the meantime, that doesn't really play a role, but I say that because I don't stress all that much of, is Gil going to lead the rotation? What's going to happen here? I think it probably will be Gil, but in the end, what are the odds we're healthy the entire year and Luis Gil doesn't make another start? So it is a big start for him, make no mistake about that, but ultimately to me, it's like, I just want to beat Boston. I want Gil to pitch well. I love Luis Gil. I think when he's on, he's extremely exciting to watch. He follows Yanks Ave, not to be biased. I like Luis Gil a lot. I always have. I hope he does well, but ultimately it's not because of the impact in his rotation spot. It's really just, and we're probably all in the same mindset, we want to beat Boston. And this is a big series where, you know, I feel really good about games 2 and 3. You know, Cam versus Bayo, that's going to be box office. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And then Wednesday night, the middle game is going to be awesome because it's a battle of two of the best lefties in the game, Freed versus Suarez. Tonight, I'm a little bit worried about, though. And it really just all is about Luis Gil, to be honest. So he could be, I don't even want to say could be great. He could be serviceable. He could be relatively good, or he could implode. We'll see. But again, 0.99 ERA and five career starts versus Boston. Hopefully that continues tonight. Now, we're doing a lot of pitching talk today in large part because the big story is Cam, and rightfully so. But what we do have to keep in mind is we're facing two lefties this series in early tonight, Suarez on Wednesday, and we've talked about it a lot, that going into the Angels series, the Yankees had the third worst team OPS against left-handed pitchers in baseball, which was a very contrast difference from last year where they led baseball in OPS against lefties. They were struggling going into the weekend, but of course they ended up taking it to lefties Cole Reagan and Noah Cameron for 14 earned runs in those two games. So we'll see what that carries over into this series, but they did this past weekend break out against lefty pitching. Finally, well, they're facing two lefties this series against Boston early tonight, Suarez on Wednesday. I'm feeling pretty good about the offense. We'll see how that all goes, but definitely a good sign this weekend against Kansas City, of course. All right, let's move on to this, and this leads us to the title of today's video, which is Yankees Red Sox finally has some drama again. This, of course, is all revolving around Cam Schlittler, his first appearance since shutting down the Red Sox in AL Wildcard Game 3. Of course, one of the most electric postseason performances in Yankee history, flat out, that is the case. And we know the story behind it all. They were talking, and when I say they, not the Red Sox players, but Red Sox fans, Cam's from Boston. They were giving him a lot of shit and like talking crap about his mom. And Cam just went on to shut them down. One of the best performances you'll ever see again. One of the best performances by a Yankee rookie in postseason history, a Yankee pitcher in postseason history for the Yankees. This is one of the most remarkable performances of all time. It was incredible. And I'm very excited for this start. And in part because apparently Cam is getting death threats, which is pretty crazy. I mean, listen, I don't know who actually is sending Cam death threats. And I don't doubt it whatsoever. I'm curious when exactly these happened. We know Cam can, you know, be kind of crazy on Twitter. And, you know, not crazy on Twitter. He just goes back and forth. He plays into it, which is awesome. Has his drawbacks, but I think he does it well if you're going to do it. I don't doubt that there have been death threats. I don't doubt it at all. But also, it's like, is it something Cam's actually worried about? I don't think so. In fact, as long as nobody's actually taken action. And by the way, his dad's a chief of police and Massachusetts, so I think he'll be all right. And he actually talked about that. This is a quote from Cam. He said, him and his family are getting besieged again by some messages out there that are pretty unreal and include death threats. And Cam says, when Cam was asked about it, if he thought it was serious enough to bring attention to the authorities, Schlittler mentioned his father, John, is the chief of police in Needham, Massachusetts, and has, quote, connections, but he hasn't gotten there yet. Connections is a funny word. I mean, it sounds like he's got mob ties or like mob affiliation, whatever it may be. Cam's going to be fine. Nobody's killing Cam. Only person that's killing is going to be Cam. But no, I'm not worried about his safety, nothing like that. And if I was, I'd talk about it in a different tune. Ultimately, unfortunately, this is kind of a tale as old as time. Yankee, especially one that's talking a little bit of smack, Yankee that has done well against Boston, obviously, as we know, there's going to be some, you know, fans that don't like him. And that, from that angle, is awesome. I love that. And that brings some juice back to the rivalry. We know, you know, whether it be Carrabas on Twitter, which, shout out Carrabas, I haven't talked to him in a minute, but I do like Carrabas. They're not a fan of Cam. Red Sox fans in general are not fans of Cam. And I think this, by default, has a, you know, a lot of juice around it. It's a big storyline. First start since that Walker down, and he's in Fenway. I mean, this is going to be pretty electric. And he's from Boston, all that. Like, this is awesome. Cam talked about it, and it almost feels like a bigger deal than it actually is, even though I'm excited for how big a deal I do think it is. Cam goes, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I'm not nervous about it. It's going to be loud. They're probably going to have dudes that are my age or a little bit younger sitting right outside the bullpen yelling, whatever, probably throwing stuff at me, trying to grab me. That's kind of what I expect. So I know the guys are excited for it, and I'm excited for it. I don't think anybody's going to be trying to grab Cam. I really, really don't. They'll be talking shit. I think that's ultimately all this is going to be. Like, there's going to be a lot of shit being said. And if Cam doesn't perform well, like, he'll hear it. But fortunately, you got a guy as good as Cam, like, I think we're pretty safe. Like, and by safe, I mean he's going to pitch well because he's a dog. He's one of the best pitchers in the game. And we've seen that so far this year. Through five starts, he's 2-1 with a 1.95 ERA, just a 0.98 walks per nine. His whip is at 0.76. I mean, he's been absolutely electric and more. He's been incredible. Strikeouts per nine of 11.71. He's been electric, which was really good against LA, or excuse me, not LA, against Kansas City in his recent start. Ultimately, I think this is box office. This is exciting. It's like a one of the first cinematic aspects of this season so far. Cam returns to Boston, and in the end, Cam's a freaking dog. He's one of the best pitchers in the game, as I said, so I'm not worried about his performance. But with that said, this is a big start. So if Cam is somebody to suffer from nerves, which we have no inclination to believe that's the case, you know, this is the start where that will come into play. And he mentioned, too, how, you know, am I probably going to be throwing a little bit harder? Yes, because the adrenaline will be high. Word up. Cam, from what we've seen, only performs better when the pressure's on, when, you know, the adrenaline's cranking. So I'm excited for the start. This is the story of this series. It's not till game three. We'll, of course, be live for it on the main channel. But, yeah, this is going to be awesome. I'm freaking stoked for Cam. And we'll see how he does. We'll talk more about it throughout the next couple days on the watch party. But again, that is what gets you the title for this stream. Really, the storyline for this series is his return to Boston. Should be pretty badass. So yeah, Yankees versus Red Sox series in Fenway Park. Game one is Heel. Game two is Fried. Game three is Cam Schlittler. Now again, Wednesday should be really fun. Fried versus Suarez. We'll see how that all plays out. Of course, Suarez signed a big deal with Boston, was one of their big acquisitions. And he's done pretty well. He has a 3.22 ERA so far this year. Now, the rest of Boston, their offense is, as of right now, nothing too crazy to write home about. Their rotation, we're going to miss Crochet, by the way, which who knows if that's even something to celebrate with the way he's been pitching so far this year. Sonny Gray, I'm not sure if he's been IL'd yet, but he did leave yesterday's game with an injury. Either way, we're going to miss him. So, not saying we fared out well. I mean, I want to, not to sound like, you know, Michael Jordan here or nothing, but like, I want to face the best competition possible. I would look forward to facing Crochet, not just because he's struggling, but I mean, I think the Yankees are lined up pretty well in this series. It's just a matter of, do they get a good start at a heel in game one, and are they going to continue to hit left-handed pitching like they did this past weekend? But I'm excited. I get really geared up for Yankee-Red Sox series, and I was talking about this yesterday. I watched it last night, too. Rivalry Renewed on YouTube. Like, I get geared up for these Yankee-Red Sox series. I mean, it's just classic, and I love, like, I always say, like, box office stuff, cinematic stuff. Like, I like making storylines out of... Case says it best. He always talks about how it's like a real life soap opera. It really, really is. You know, I was talking to the Chloe dog the other day, and she's a big Tate McRae fan, right? And she's just like me, like ADHD through the roof, has these fixations. Mine happens to be the Yankees. I'll get some other stuff here and there, like, you know, Elvis, Spider-Man, Star Wars. Like, those are kind of my main things. Yankees, Spider-Man, Star Wars, Elvis. Did I say Star Wars? Yeah. But I was saying, I actually kind of feel bad for her a little bit, because it's like, man, you're like, Tate McRae's your thing. It's just like how I am with the Yankees, except you don't get a 162-game season. Like, this is part of the beauty of baseball. Like, I'm in love with this, as we all are, and we get something new every single day, whether it's coming off a bad loss, or you wake up the next day and you have a chance to bounce back, or you sweep the Royals. That's fun because it's fun to watch winning baseball, and then the very next series, we're in Fenway for what should be a pretty box office series, and I love everything to do with it. So I'm a little nervous, not going to lie, particularly about Game 1 and Luis Gil, but, you know, this is our first... Yeah, I mean, not to keep going back to this phrase, but we'll probably talk about it, say it a lot. The next few is box office. I mean, the Mariners series, I guess you could say, was kind of cool. I mean, that's we talked about a potential like ALCS preview at the time. But, you know, very early in the season, as this is the first, like, not test, because Boston isn't, like, a great team, but we've seen them not have great teams and play as well still. So I'm not, like, again, not to talk like I'm on the team, although I like to do that, like, I'm not taking this lightly, chat, by any means, even though Boston is off to a 9-13 start. So the bottom line is, got to win the series. If I had a predict right now, outside of bias, like, I wouldn't predict the sweep, but I'm hoping for 2 out of 3. I'm predicting 2 out of 3. And for all we know, I mean, if they take game one, I'm going to go with a sweep, but ultimately we'll go one day at a time. Again, we'll be live every single day on the main channel starting tonight. First pitch at 6:45. We'll be live like a few minutes before then, probably like 6:40, maybe even 6:30. We'll hop on a little early. We'll see. But yeah, Yankees, Red Sox, and I'm pretty freaking stoked. 9-game road trip. We'll be in Houston after this, so concluding Boston on Thursday. Again, all night games, 6:45 tonight, 6:45 on Wednesday, 6:10 on Thursday. Then Friday we go to Houston. After that, come Monday, we go to Texas for, well, the other part of Texas for the Rangers. And that's our 9-game road trip. So it's a big one, man. Now, Boston, we know they've been struggling. They're 9-13. Houston has also got out of the gate really slow. A lot of teams have. We'll actually talk about that in just a moment, like the competition throughout baseball, because it really might just be one. I mean, the Dodgers are the one great team, but other than that, like, relatively speaking, like, what are the good teams in baseball? We'll touch on that in just a moment. I do want to talk about this really quick. So let's do a little Jose Caballero, which he's been hitting the ball really well as of late. And yeah, you see the last 10 games hitting 306 with a 342 on base, 472 slugging. Overall stats in the year, not great still. He got off to a pretty brutal start, as we know. But he's up to 233, 282, 329. Has a homer, 9 stolen bases, WRC plus of just 75. But listen, he's heating up. And we bring this up because Volpe's rehab is being transferred to AAA today. He will be in the Rail Riders starting lineup tonight. And we're not there just yet, but now that he's at AAA, he's had a couple games in AA and hit well. He was in just a few at-bats, but hit 364 in AA. The swing definitely looks adjusted. It looks more level, looks more balanced, looks more composed. Now he's in AAA. We'll see how much longer exactly he has on his clock. I mean, there's an actual timetable on his rehab clock. It won't take that long, but I'm thinking probably, yeah, first week in May. We have another week, maybe week and a half of Volpe at rehab, and then when he returns, he'll be the starting shortstop. We know that that is the case. What's the plan for Jose Caballero, though? Well, we know he'll go back to ultimately being a utility guy, a bench guy, which is what the Yankees want him to be. They want him to be somebody off the bench that they can pinch run with and, you know, really utilize his speed as the 10th man instead of being the starting shortstop. And the team is better off that way. Right now, before Volpe's return, our fastest speed on the bench is Randall Grichuk. Well, once Volpe returns, you got Caballero on the bench. That adds another facet to this team, which is not just speed. Caballero plays a big role in that, but we've talked about the Yankees are second in all baseball and stolen bases as a team. I want Volpe, by the way, to really get back to running when he returns. I mean, he's still, I think, still, what, 20 bags last year? I want him to be running. Like, I hope he knows this Yankee team you're coming back to is a running ball club. We run. Anyways, while Caballero won't be playing every day, and I guess that could result in some less stolen bases, having his speed off the bench will be very important. And ultimately, come the postseason, that'll be the plan. Now, part of why I bring this up is it's very still much on the table that he could be starting games. I mean, there's going to be times where, you know, third base, for example, Rosario, it seems like he's getting majority of the playing time right now over Ryan McMahon, and that's how it should be. And that'll probably stay the case. It'll be those two at third base for the most part. Caballero can play that position, though, when you need him to. Also, not that Jazz will really suffer too much of a lack of playing time. I mean, he's going to keep getting run. He's off to a bad start. You guys know I have my issues with Jazz, but ultimately I think he will start performing. Well, on the days where, say, Jazz still is not hitting and you're facing a lefty, you could opt to play Caballero at second base. Like, you just could do that. And I think the Yankees, there will be times, not all that often, but there will be times where they do that, where you see Caballero get a start at second. There, of course, will be times where Volpe, especially early on, they'll be easing him back in. Like, he'll still get at least a couple starts a week while everybody's healthy, not to mention coming in off the bench. And he might come in off the bench early, like whether it be pinch running or just coming in for defense, or, you know, say it's a sixth and the Yankees are in a tie game and, you know, I don't know, maybe Rosario gets on or McMahon starting that day, and then you just pinch run with Rosario and have his defense and bat in for the rest of the game. So Caballero's going to be playing a lot. Still, his role is now going to be more so revolving on the bench, of course, but kind of just putting it out there, as we already knew, Volpe, when he returns, is going to be the starting shortstop. That means Caballero, theoretically, is going to the bench, but he will still have a lot of playing time coming to him, or coming for him. And it ultimately, as long as Volpe can give us something, and by something I mean the defense has got to be good. We need to, if a ground ball hit to the shortstop, I always say it, like, you should be able to close your eyes. If a ground ball hit to your shortstop, the play should be made. Volpe needs to be doing that. 2024, he was truly elite on defense. If he can get back to that level, that would be awesome. And as for offensively, I mean, Caballero's been really good over the last week or so, but just assuming he truly is like a 650 to 700 OPS guy, 75 WRC plus, like, I think these stats could be the true Caballero, like 75 WRC plus, 85 WRC plus. We need Volpe to come back and be just a little bit better than that. Now, for his career, Volpe's never been a 700 OPS guy. That's kind of the ballpark I'm shooting for. Like, Volpe, if you can give me a 700 OPS with good defense and be running a little bit on the base pass, this team will be improved with his return and then Caballero off the bench. But that is the situation. When Volpe returns, he'll be getting the starting shortstop job back, as we know, and then Caballero will be going to the bench. Anyways, let's wrap it up here. Of course, this is a shorter show because it's more of like a series preview and all that for Yankees Red Sox. But I just want to go over this because I was talking yesterday, and, you know, a big talking point on baseball today with Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe, big announcement on today's show, by the way, just like teams struggling. And yesterday, Talking Baseball, I think, did that too, where they were just talking about like teams struggling. I mean, again, the Dodgers are off to a great start, as are the Atlanta Braves. The Dodgers are 16-6. The Reds are off to a great start, 15-8. Braves are 16-7. And then after that, it's us at 13-9. And the reason I bring this up is because I was reading the power rankings yesterday on MLB.com. They have the Yankees fourth. Now, let me actually pull up that exact list. But I just want to talk about, like, we always say how, well, we is a stretch, but some will say how the Yankees aren't a good team. And I'll push back and be like, well, who are we comparing them to? The teams they're competing with or the 1998 Yankees? Because, sure, this team compared to the 90s dynasty, you know, it couldn't lick them, whatever you want to describe it as. But if you look at who we're facing in the American League, and it's ultimately all about getting to the World Series, not that that's the end-all be-all in terms of success. If you get to the World Series and lose it, then it's a failure. I always say 2024 is at the equivalent of 2023, at the equivalent of last year to me. Like, if you don't win at all, I don't give a damn. Like, it's in the end a failure, and I'm sobbing come year's end. But no, you get to the World Series, and then you look at it more so, bring it back home to baseball. It's a series that you got to win. You evaluate that then. You deal with the World Series when you get there. It's about doing that, the journey, getting there, winning the East, winning the best team in the American League, getting through the American League, winning the pennant, and then we'll take care of business, evaluate the World Series once we arrive there. But point is, our competition in the American League, we know the bad start the Blue Jays have gotten off to. They're 9-13. Boston, while nobody really put them as head-to-head going against us in Toronto, they were looked at to be a contender, still could be. They're off to a bad start as well, as we know. You go to the AL Central. The Guardians now are hot, but they are just finally above 500 at 12-11. That's the Guardians. I mean the Tigers. The Tigers are 12-11 now. The Royals have been terrible, but forget them. You look at the main contenders in the American League, it was the Yankees going into this year, Toronto going into this year, Detroit, and the Mariners. We can leave it there. And if you want to throw in Houston just because of, you know, PTSD, sure, they're off to a brutal start. They're 9-15. But to keep it home at Yankees, Blue Jays, Tigers, Mariners, those are kind of looked at like the four teams that anytime we faced, not yet, but when we faced the Blue Jays, I would be saying ALCS preview. Mariners, we did it. I said, is this an ALCS preview? And, you know, that was fun. Tigers, I would and will be doing the same thing. Those are like the four main teams in the AL. And the best one by far so far this year is the Yankees. Now, I'm not just going to be talking about record here. And in fairness, because part of this also is because of injuries, more so on the Blue Jays than things. The Blue Jays have been screwed by injuries. They really have been. And at some point, they're going to be back. They've won a couple games in a row. Before we know it, they'll be 500. The Blue Jays are going to be involved in this. Make no mistake about it. But if we're truly comparing what the Yankees are and what the Yankees could be, which you got to give that benefit of the doubt to other teams too. Other teams have the trade deadline. Other teams have prospects to choose from and, like, you know, supplement their team with whatever they can do. But with what the team is now relative to the rest of the American League, what I think the team will be given our, I don't want to say resources, but our ability to trade from the depth we have prospect-wise, guys coming back, everything we know about what this team is going to be, and yes, what they are currently right now, I believe relative to the rest of the American League, I think we are the best team in the AL. I do. And if you want to big picture it to the rest of all baseball, include the National League, which is tough to do because, again, like, I don't look at it as a thing where you plan through the World Series. You plan through the ALCS. You plan through your league, and then when you get to the World Series, you are just, like, it's a baseball series. Like, you may not be the better team, but you can navigate it to where you win it. And no, are we better than the Dodgers? Absolutely not. The Dodgers are insane. They really, really are. But it doesn't mean they can't be beaten, as we saw Toronto almost do last year. And I'm sorry, 2024, which I think this team is way better than 2024. It just is. I'm sorry. It is. The pitching is played. Chat, there's a possibility, and the only reason I say possibility because it is baseball and, like, I'm not a fool, but, like, if you were to say I'm banking on getting 6 innings, 1 run, 7 innings, 1 run every single outing of the postseason this year from our starting rotation, I would say you are within your rights. Like, don't tell me this is the same team as 2024. It's not, for many reasons. Anyways, I think we're the best team in the American League. Take on the National League. I mean, the only team I would say that's better than us is the Dodgers. Now, who cares? Sure, but this is where I bring it up because, like, the power rankings came out, and power rankings are whatever, and they are very, like, recently influenced, and that's how they're supposed to be. Well, I mentioned the Yankees are fourth. The teams they have ahead of them, they have the Padres at 3. Okay. The Braves at 2, Dodgers at 1. I'm not giving this power rankings an issue because I understand how power rankings work, but ultimately, if we were to break it down to the best teams in baseball, recent play considered, sure, but factoring the true construction of the roster, and maybe this is where I get biased and I think about, like, what's to come. I think the Yankees are the second best team in baseball. Excuse me. Oh, my God. How foul. I could have covered that up, and it just came out. I had a lot to eat last night, Chet. I had B-dubs to go delivered. And I had some ice cream. Yankees Red Sox gets me in a mood. I'm freaking geared up. But anyways, I guess what I'm getting at here is I think the only team better than us is the Dodgers. And we'll deal with them come the World Series if we get there. And we better get there. Because if not, Chet, you'll never see me again. No, I'm just kidding. I say that every year. But yeah, that's our show for today. Definitely a quick one. Only a 30-minute episode. I want to do more of these like... Well, shit, since we're here, show's basically over, but I just want to talk to you guys as, you know, we're all homies here if you're watching live at 8 o'clock in the morning. Some things that I'm thinking about, I want to do more Morning Yankees shows that are a little, like, quicker like these, not the main shows. Like, yesterday was an off day series, or, like, a series recap episode. Those will be the longer, like, 50 to an hour episodes, and all that will stay the same, but I want to do some more, like, take, for example, Friday's game against the Royals where we had the McMahon homer, and that's a big story in the game itself. The next morning, come on and talk about it for like a 30-minute show and just have more frequent episodes as well as what we're already doing in like the episodes like yesterday that are more about an hour. We really dive deep into a lot of broad topics that are series related. So that's one thing. I think we'll have some more episodes with some quicker ones like this in between games or whatever it may be. Also, there's a chance we might be going to the main channel with these episodes. Not just yet, but one, I have an announcement soon that will be in about a week and a half. Two, when I initially made this separate channel, remember it was Yankees Avenue Live, and it was going to be all live streams were going to be on this channel. And then I eventually changed it to this was just the Morning Yankees Show channel, and this is where we do these shows. And had I have known that I was still going to do watch parties on the main channel like we're doing, I probably wouldn't have put it on a separate channel. I've been talking to some people and they're like, yeah, it should be on the same channel. And again, announcement coming in about a week and a half. We'll talk about it. It's exciting. But, you know, when I'm discussing programming notes and like, oh, the schedule for today, it's like, all right, we're here live on this channel today, but I'll see you later on the main channel for the watch party. So it's like, I'll be here for this, here for that. It's like, it probably will be better to consolidate it. And if I were to do this, I'd work it out with YouTube on the back end where all these shows get put over to the main channel. It's not finalized. May not even for sure be happening yet, but I'm just giving you some thoughts that I've been thinking through. We might be doing the Morning Yankee show, not just yet. I'll let you know when it's going to happen, but on the main channel where everything else is as well. Because again, it was initially going to be Yankees Avenue Live. All my live streams are going to be on this new channel. That's no longer the case. So it does feel a little bit, I don't know, like counterproductive to have a separate channel for really no reason. But I love this channel, and I love this show, so this ain't going nowhere. And again, we're probably only going to be having more and more of these shows going forward. But anyways, that's going to do it for this one. Speaking of the watch party, of course, live all three games against Boston over on the main channel. We'll be live tonight around probably 6:30 or 6:40. First pitch is at 6:45. Another quick look at the preview for this series. Game 1 tonight, 6:45 Eastern, Heel versus Early. Game 2 tomorrow night on Wednesday, 6:45 Eastern, Fried versus Suarez. And Thursday, series finale. The big story of the series, Cam Schlitter's return to Boston. Cam versus Brian Bello. Game 1's on YES, Game 2's on Prime, Game 3 is back on YES. That'll do it for this episode. Hope everybody has a great Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining in on another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Here, of course, we are live, and then we're also on the YouTube replay. You could watch it back, and also available on Apple and Spotify for podcasts as well. All right, that's it for this episode. Another reminder, baseball today, we have a big announcement coming later on. That'll be out right around, probably around 1 o'clock Eastern time. With Chris Rose and Trevor Plouffe on the JM Baseball channel. But yeah, I'm going to quit yapping and get out of here. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday, and I'll see you later on the main channel for Game 1, Yankees versus Red Sox. Rivalry renewed. You know I'm geared up, Chad. I'll see you later tonight. And in the meantime, let's go Yanks.